Blog Talk Radio.
Conscious Capitalist Show. I'm your host, King. I'd like to welcome everyone to having a great Friday. We have an exciting show planned for everyone today. I'm excited to introduce our next guest, who's also a member of the DC chapter of Conscious Capitalism. He's our Chief Strategy Officer. And allow me to introduce him and welcome him to our show. His name is St. Paul. Arnaud St. Paul is a conscious technologist and visionary. He has inspired businesses and individuals around the world by helping them reach their highest potential. As a visionary and technologist, he has been awarded for his many outstanding achievements in innovations, technology, and methodology. Driven by the knowledge that technology is the expression of consciousness, Arnaud is elevating businesses, owners, and individuals alike in their business and personal lives. Using his latest methodology, he paves the way for their best potential. This is the key in his clients' continuous growth and well-being. Arnaud is excited to announce a new technology that helps people and business to focus on the positive aspects of their lives that will make them healthy, that will make them happy, successful, and abundant, and allows them to fulfill their highest and greatest potential. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome to the Conscious Capitalist Show, Mr. Arnaud St. Paul.
Thank you so much, King. Hello, everyone. I'm so happy to be here and be part of this amazing and beautiful adventure that is Conscious Capitalism in DC.
Welcome to the show. We're glad to have you, and we're definitely excited, as I like to say, to the infinite possibilities that our relationship will bring to the mission of Conscious Capitalism and then the greater good of the world as well.
Yes, indeed. Kudos to that.
So let's get right into it. Let's talk about...
Sure.
What is your story, or as we like to say, your highest purpose in the conscious capitalism world?
So that story could also be our purpose, right? The higher purpose.
Absolutely.
I believe I was born to bring to the world a path towards more consciousness, towards more inner coherence of each and every individuals here on this planet, and starting with the leaders of in the capitalism world, of businesses, and it makes all the sense in the world for us to support conscious capitalism, because that's where the leading edge of the leaders are. From our standpoint, and what I thrive to, what I yearn to, is to see as many people as we can really connect deeper and deeper to themselves, and bring about the core values of what makes us humans, which we call heartfulness, which, you know, all the values that are in our hearts. To deliver the best experiences we can have, not only to ourselves, but to all the other people around us. So this is really the higher purpose, and at Heal Through Words, which is the name of our company, we purposefully do all that we can to reach, by 2020, we want to reach 1 billion people. and inspire and empower them. And it's basically to bring them to a more conscious way of doing business, but also to live their lives at the same time. So did I answer your question correctly?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And thank you for that answer. Now, you mentioned core values in your answer, which leads to the next question. What are your core values?
Very, very good question. The core values would be, from our standpoint, it's probably they are more translated into feelings. It's gratefulness, it's compassion, it's love, it's having an open heart. It's these kind of values where we are more towards opening ourselves than limiting ourselves.
Okay. Now, who would you say has been your greatest inspiration in life, or even leading you to create the organization here through words?
I would say probably one of the most amazing being on this planet. I mean, there are many, right? We could go from Martin Luther King to Gandhi and many others. But when I started my journey towards connecting deeper to myself and knowing who I am, I was inspired by a person named Ramana Maharshi, who is an amazing thinker from India, from the beginning of the 20th century, that has taught me all that I am today.
And what would you say, things that, one of the lessons that resonated with you the most from the gentleman you spoke of? And I'm sorry, can you say the name one more time, please?
Yes, Ramana Maharshi, M-A-H-A-R-S-H-I. So Ramana Maharshi was a spiritual guru, right, from the beginning of the century, of last century in India. And his way of experiencing and describing the world, or more importantly, his way of showing the path towards the full consciousness of a being, you know, because that's at the end of it, that's what we all look for, not necessarily consciously, but that's where we want all to tend to, is that eternal quest of who am I, and in order for us to be able to transcend our individual consciousness, it's that path of going after that who am I, which is what I started to do when I was 13 years old, and I'm still on that journey, that really has been very enlightening to me when I was able to read that later on, when I discovered that spiritual teacher. And this is a very fundamental question that every one of us is asking himself at one point or another in his life. But if we go on and continue pursuing that line of question, we can discover many marvels and many treasures in ourselves.
Yes, absolutely. Now, what would you say has been the greatest challenge with adopting the Heal Through Words philosophy in your life? Because I understand that that's a different mindset. I mean, it's a simple one, and I'm sure it's an ancient one as well, but in our current society, it's a different one, the thought of healing through words. A lot of people don't really understand the power in words and of their words, and I'm just curious to know, what is your challenge or has been your greatest challenge with adopting that into your lifestyle?
So adopting it to my lifestyle, I think, you know, one of the biggest challenges is to be able to apply it on a daily basis to make sure that we use the right words in every single situation, to be conscious about the words we're using. And so it's to be aware of these thoughts and therefore words that we're saying is quite interesting, because most of us do not even pay attention to what we are saying. I mean, you know, in a business context, we're obviously saying words to negotiate a contract or any other situation or chatting with a colleague. But are we really aware of, is it the right word we're using within that context? And is it the most empowering word and the most positive words that we can use at that moment? That's the very interesting challenge we all face.
And what are some of the powerful or some of those positive words that you find yourself using in your daily language, even when you're speaking to your either business clients or maybe even your wife as well?
Well, I would first start with, you know, what are the negative words we have to get rid of? I think, you know, these are small words that we don't believe are necessarily negative, but they are so negative, they are so telling a story that is not the one that we want to tell, that we have to pay attention to them. One of them is the word try. Obviously, we always talk about no, can't, I won't, etc. But a word like try or but can be also very limiting and therefore very fear-driven and does not empower you in the way you're communicating. Now, to get back to your question, I believe, you know, that the interesting thing is we tend to use positive words in general. I will always be very positive towards people and showing them the best of who they are in all aspects of their relationship with me. But it is true as well that not necessarily in a word or a set of words, but in a pattern, like when you are, let's say that I'm discussing with my wife and at some point we can potentially enter into an argument, and that argument can go down in terms of vibration, right? Because that argument can become not a fight per se, but something of a confrontation. And one has to get out as soon as possible from that pattern of exchange, of word exchange, so that we can raise again the overall communication towards more positive landscapes, if I may say so.
Okay. Now, I know you talk about the word try, and that's a word that I hear people use constantly. And without even thinking,
yes,
they use the word try. I'm a try to get up in the morning and work out. I'm going to try to get the support to you in the morning. I'm going to try to be there at a meeting at a certain time and date. I've always looked at that word try as a way of saying it's a built-in excuse to not commit.
Exactly.
It alleviates the ability to commit. So now you have an out if you want to have an out. And so what is one of the ways you would suggest that folks, what are some of the words you suggest that people use instead of try?
Well, as you were saying, I mean, each time someone is using the word try, he's basically putting himself in a place of potential limbo, meaning not executing on whatever is the action that has been described after the try, after the verb try being used. And so, as you were saying, there is a built-in excuse of not being able to actually have success in whichever action that was envisioned. You can always say something that is way more positive and that will probably translate better what you're saying at that moment: I will do my best. This is totally true. And as long as you actually fulfill that, these words, doing your best to be at that time or be doing your best to do whatever gym exercise you want to do, etc., that is more consistent to the initial intention. because we pre-assume that we don't want to try and fail, right?
Right.
I'm not going to go to a meeting just to fail not appearing to the meeting. So doing your best is one of the options. The other option is clearly, I will be there. And, you know, making it happen. Because at the end of it, it's also, you are the master of the experience you're having. So you can definitely make it happen. So the first step is really to become aware of that propensity to use the word try to put us ourselves into a failure mechanism. And once we find that out, then let's decide and choose sets of words that really put me in a situation where I will commit, as you were saying, to one thing or another, but not the in-between, the limbo, that where nothing is actually set. If that makes sense.
Yes, it does. It does. And so now that brings a question. When you're meeting someone for the first time and at a networking event or maybe even just through a referral, and they're either a potential client or a potential strategic partner, if they use the word try in the context of setting a meeting date, does that usually bring a red flag to you, or do you not use it as a red flag, more so as an opportunity to just see what their overall level of commitment is?
Very good question. Obviously from my standpoint, where I teach these kind of things, I will, you know, one of my immediate reactions would be, you know, you shouldn't use the word try right now. But I think, yeah, you know, you observe in the other individual, in this case, the place where the person is, how committed she is in that specific action that is wanted to be taken, that it wants to be happening, and maybe out of that cue, you push maybe a bit further to say, okay, but what about this? And let's get towards a bigger commitment than just the try moment that was a bit shallow still. Or you just allow it to happen and see how it evolves, meaning you set up the try, I'm going to try to be at that place at that time, and then you just observe if that actually happens or not. But it's clearly the person is not yet at the level of commitment you are in at that moment.
Okay. Now, how has adopting the Heal Through Words philosophy or motto helped you grow as a person, as an individual?
Well, it's funny because what we're doing is really when we're going through the Heal Through Words method and using the Heal Through Words principles, which are conscious principles, and it's very, very, very much tied to the principles of conscious capitalism at the same time, you really embark onto a series of experiences that are always more and more and more positive. So instead of having, breakdowns and then it goes up again and a lot of, negative things happening and then a lot of positive things happening, etc., you just ramp up into a more positive, more and more positive outcomes all the way, always. And that, I think that's the major advantage of becoming more aware and becoming more conscious, because you then allow yourself and your environment to really become the highest version of themselves and experience them at the same time. Being able to be there, to be present, so that everybody that is around you at that time can express their better selves, and yourself included, obviously. And that is a major shift in a person's life, whether we're talking about business or in our private lives. It's exactly the same.
Now, does healing through the power of words, does that kind of correlate to positive thinking?
Obviously, it stems from it. But I think positive thinking talks about, you know, making sure that our patterns are always positive, which definitely is part of what Heal Through Words is about. But it goes also beyond it, because you don't want to have a thought that is just positive if there is no feeling behind it. Or you cannot have just a positive thought if you feel bad, if you feel sad, for instance. So it's what Heal Through Words is about. We call it heartfulness, which is based on four pillars. Positive words, it's one word, one part. Gratefulness, mindfulness, and physical exercise. So by aligning all the parts of ourselves, meaning our consciousness, our feelings, our emotions, our thoughts in our body, and by experiencing such alignment at all levels, then we are able to actually become not only aware and mindful and grateful in this case, but more importantly, we can make a big difference, a huge difference in our own experience and how we serve others. Because I believe, I don't know if you agree with me, but conscious capitalism is a lot about serving others.
Absolutely.
While making money, of course, but still we are on that path towards making a difference in the world and changing the world, opening it up, right, to new ways of making capitalism.
Absolutely.
That's the best way for us to be able to serve that world that we want to change, by being, one, the best that we can, and therefore by being totally coherent with ourselves at all levels. And when we gain back that power that is already inside ourselves, then we can have a huge impact on all the aspects of our lives, including, obviously, the community that we want to serve.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I completely agree with you that conscious capitalism is about committing to the service and bringing value to society, and based on the much value that you bring to society in the level of service, in the degree of the service that you're providing, then your financial compensation is commensurate with that. So that's where conscious capitalism comes into play. That's conscious capitalism. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. You know, I think that, you know, as I listen to the news and we go through our daily lives right now, and as America's going through our election process, you know, I think we need to adopt the philosophy of healing through words with a lot of the conversation between both candidates, both political parties. You know, and if we adopt that more in America, period, I think it could definitely deal with, cut down on some of the violence and some of the hate that's really beginning to be exposed and you know, created right now. So I think the timing of Heal Through Words is definitely important, and it's definitely needed. And with that being said, let me ask you, what are some of the programs that you provide through Heal Through Words, and how can they begin to, or how can we, the listening audience, the conscious leaders, begin to explore it and get more information about it?
Oh, that's an awesome question. So we're, you know, we're a young company and we're building up everything as we speak. So first and foremost, go to the website Heal Through Words, Heal, H-E-A-L, through T-H-R-U, words, WORDS.com. And there, everything is laid out on the different programs that are currently available, and there will be more in the future. What we're focusing on is offering the tools to business leaders, but obviously it affects also their private lives, to be able to offer not only to their employees but also to themselves all the tools that they can need to be able to embark onto that heartfulness journey and to that conscious leadership journey. And obviously offering consciousness to all their environment, their clients, their whole stakeholders, and creating a conscious culture at the same time. So not only do we have a what we call the Daily Boost program, which is a positive message, a conscious message every day for all the employees at the same time, plus providing a reporting mechanism on how people are reacting towards it and how they can show or they can experience their own progress by using these daily messages on a daily basis. We also have what we call the Conscious Business Tune-Ups, which works with the leaders of the company to help them reframe the way they are thinking about their business. So it's kind of a very effective and efficient way of having very incisive interaction with the CEOs and the leaders of the company, and reshape the way they are doing their business from a conscious standpoint, of course. And then we have our flagship program named Rewire, which is absolutely amazing. It's it tackles the main issue, the core issue that is within ourselves, which is our big identification to the lower, the negative self-talk. The University of Texas showed that 70% of our thoughts are negative in essence, because we're talking about the news, about what happens with the elections, etc., and we lose ourselves in that. And so that program's focus is to help business leaders to change from negative self-talk to positive self-talk in 4 weeks. And it has been, it's using science to make that happen. It uses also our Heal Towards method. And you work for 3 weeks at the office using our method through our mobile app that we'll be launching in the next few months, or through our website. And then the fourth week, you come here to Sedona for 7 days of intensive work with our experts to make a big shift in your life, whether from a business standpoint or your private standpoint. And of course, we continue helping you through active daily meditations and coaching during 1 year afterwards to make sure that you are still on the empowerment path towards more and more consciousness as a leader in your company and for all your employees. So we have a full range of services to really help a company to make a big shift at all levels, whether it is for an employee from their office up to the in-presence workshop, and always using science and technology to make sure that everybody is on the same page and grow together.
You know, one of the things that I was thinking about when you talk about your Rewire program and dealing with the negative self-talk is was a quote by Og Mandino, who was the author of The Greatest Salesman in the World. And he says that if I said half of the things that your thoughts say to you, could we still be friends?
Yes, totally. Exactly.
You know, and that's a great question. A lot of folks that I know personally and in business, they definitely, you know, have a lot of negative self-thoughts. And I used to as well. And I liken, you know, the way to deal with the negative self-thoughts is, what are you feeding your mind? What are you reading in the morning? What are your rituals? Some of those things like that to help keep you on a positive keel. Because, of course, our society, once you get out in our society, if you watch the news media, and if you read magazines, you listen to the radio, then it's almost impossible to not have negative thoughts, because everything around us is negative as far as what's being thrown at us. And so to me, the way to bombard that is to kind of reformat your mind and protect your mind at the very beginning of the day with going through some basic rituals and or things that, you know, to get myself mentally prepared. So with that being said, what are some of the daily rituals that you go through to kind of help guard you against all the negative energy and ideals that's going to come at you, and it really keeps you on that positive, love-filling state of mind that you have throughout the day?
Well, as you were saying, you know, the same way we have a body hygiene, right? We're going in the shower and taking care of ourselves, of our bodies. We should do exactly the same for our minds and for our own experience towards ourselves. And we so much forget that when we shouldn't. So we should, you know, look at what we are actually, as you were saying, what we are actually reading or watching or listening to or talking with, because sometimes we're talking with someone that is not necessarily very positive. And we're not talking about being positive like, you know, dreamy person that always talk about the beautiful fairies and whatnot. No, we're talking about people that empowers you, that brings you joy by exchanging with them, opening you up instead of limiting you. And so to get back to your question, what I do, what we do here at Healthful Words is making sure that we don't spend or focus on the news or all the different type of information that could be limiting our experience at any given moment. So obviously the biggest proponent of these kind of things are the, you know, the news that you can find on TV and on the newspapers and whatnot, because for them to be able to live their lives, they need to be very dramatic about what is happening and showing you the darker side of what is actually occurring at one moment in any given situation. So it's really filtering out all these information that are not serving my experience at this very moment, and focusing on the ones that are helping me to grow. And obviously to fulfill my purpose, right? So anything that can help me to get nearer to the destination that I am envisioning in myself for my business, for my personal life, and so on and so forth, is welcome. The rest is being put aside and not paid attention to. And as you can see in that, in these two words, I pay attention. This is really interesting, the way our language is shaped. I am paying attention. It's like I'm giving dollars to that specific set of information in this case. So each time you're paying attention to news, you're giving your dollars and your time and your focus, etc., to this news. Is that news giving you, compensate you accordingly to that? Is that really what you need at that very moment? Or is it just a habit, an addiction that you're repeating again and again and again? Is it a negative pattern that sabotages you instead of nourishing you? I think that's the question that every one of us needs to ask oneself.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Now, what are some of the challenges that you face with developing the Heal Through Words organization? And I believe you have a foundation as well. And I know that, you know, this is a question I'd love to ask our guests on the show, because as you develop a conscious business model, it's a lot more challenging to always focus on the higher purpose than just focusing on the money or profit maximization.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to create a business that only revolves around how can I make the most money possible. But it's much more challenging to create a business that talks about how can I actually bring about a more measurable impact in the world? How can I bring about eliminating injustice? How can I bring about societal or environmental issues, or reducing environmental impact on what I'm doing in the world? So what are some of the challenges and issues you have with creating your company that you'd like to share with our listening audience?
So from what you're saying, there are two, from my standpoint, there are two angles. The one is at the creation moment, which is what you just described. How do I position the purpose of the company so that it is a company, but at the same time, what is the actual benefit that I'm providing to the world? In other words, how do I monetize the social change I'm making, right? Or I want to make? And that's a very interesting question. And obviously, offering social change is not necessarily always a capitalistic, does not have always a capitalism approach. I mean, if I were to go and rescue the refugees in whatever country, it will probably be a lot better to do it from a non-profit standpoint than from a business standpoint, because from a business standpoint, there's not really a way to sustain a good business approach for the long term. Now, about the challenges that we meet, I think, and that was the other part of your question, or at least the way I was understanding it, is, you know, I want to make a big change in the world, and have to have a good business sense at the same time, of course. How do I make sure that I grow the fastest I can to make sure to make that purpose happen and that vision that I have within me, without losing myself into the day to day, the fact that I have to pay, you know, all the bills and how do I grow the business at the same time without losing myself in it? Because my purpose is to make happen the vision that is inside me, and in this case, the social benefits that I want to provide to the world, right? And that is a constant challenge. And I think, you know, we all face it, and every single entrepreneur has to, or every single leader has to really focus and, again, pay attention more and more and more to the vision, to what is inside themselves, and be more conscious and aware of it, and nourish it, and take care of it, and be present to it, instead of paying attention, again, to the business part. Obviously, both needs to be taken care of, but we tend to forget and to forego the actual fulfillment of that vision, because we are so much focused on what is needed to be done now or the next week, and so on and so forth, so that the intricacies and the needs of the business, because it needs some care and nurturing as well, is taken care of at the same time. So it's a tricky balance, but we all have to face it and make the best of it. But what is clear to us is that when you focus on the vision, the rest, meaning the business and all the interactions with people and so on and so forth, will always be easier and easier and easier. The moment we focus on the nitty-gritty, we lose ourselves, and therefore everything slows down, and there is less chance and possibilities for you to actually succeed in your vision.
Absolutely. I think that's a great answer. I think that, you know, that's something that all of us as conscious leaders should be mindful of, is, you know, focusing on the vision, tapping into that part of us that creates this higher purpose, that has this higher purpose, that has the passion, and that has the love, and that really wants to bring about a positive change in the world and also create value. So Thank you for that answer. I think that's one that we could definitely begin to incorporate and consider as conscious leaders going forward.
Yep. Agreed.
Now, who is your target market? I mean, it may be obvious, but, you know, I still want to hear you say, who is your target market for Healthy Words?
We can help anyone, but I think right now we're focusing mostly on small businesses and also corporations. Small businesses, why? Because they are the ones that have probably the biggest vision and the one that can have a major impact. They are the ones also, as they are at the inception level, they can do such a big difference if they focus the right way. So definitely small businesses, and I'm talking about, you know, companies with 3-4 employees up to 50, and then corporations who really are on that path of mindfulness, of that path of emotional leadership, and they want to go to the leading edge of it, which is what we're offering, heartfulness. There we're talking to companies from 300 employees and up, and we're basically offering, you know, these tools to these two target markets for any leader, whether it's a small team or a big one, that wants to, whether it's plateauing at this moment or who is wanting to become the better version of themselves and enhance communication, productivity, creativity, and the bottom line, because that's what happens, is that the impact of anything we're doing by becoming more positive and heartful and conscious is increasing the bottom line of the company. We're here to serve them and offer them our assistance to fulfill the outcome they desire and help them deliver their vision.
Okay. Now, have you established a stakeholder integration plan? As you know, that's one of the four tenets of a conscious capitalist leader's mindset is, you know, having a higher purpose, stakeholder integration, being a conscious leader, and then creating a conscious culture. So have you established a stakeholder integration plan or a process for identifying your stakeholders and getting engaged with them?
I believe so. Obviously, you know, a stakeholder integration plan can mean many things. At the end of it, what you want is to have a full integration and alignment across the company and their different clients, financial partners, providers, and whatnot. When we start a meaningful relationship with someone at whichever level, or it could be a joint venture partner, we have a mission statement and a list of values and principles that we share with them, so that we are both aware that, you know, this is the purpose towards which we're working together and spending moments together, because we want to make that happen, whatever that is, whatever is in our mission statement. So that's our plan of integration at this stage. We also offer to everyone, obviously, to use our tools for their own purpose so that they can grow, and that we can be all the best version of ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, how important do you view strategic partners? You mentioned that in your answer about joint venture partners, but how important do you view the role of strategic partners when helping you execute your mission? And
can you repeat again? Sorry.
How important do you view strategic partners with helping you execute your mission? And there's a follow-up question, which is, and do you have a process in place for determining what strategic partners you actually work with?
Okay. I don't think we're that sophisticated yet. we're working on that part. The way we choose the strategic partners is really to figure out, to feel, to sense what is the underlying intention of that partner and that partnership. If it is just an intention of interest, we're not going in that path, because we're all about the purpose of the company and not necessarily the financial interest per se. We all know also, all our partners know that they will be taken care of, in the sense that together we're going in that same direction, the purpose of Health Rewards in this case, and by default, everything will work out to support their activity as well as ours. So therefore, there's no need of being preoccupied by, the very short-term interest that we can have if we were looking at that from a non-conscious capitalistic point of view. So I think that would be my answer for that question, is really looking at the intention behind any partnership that is being put together, so that it is correctly aligned with the purpose of the company.
Okay. Now, do you have any mentors in your life that you would like to share with our listening audience, who you look to as a mentor?
Well, if we're talking about life, in mentors that are alive, I don't think I have any, besides my wife, maybe, and partner, and business partner. Now, again, so Ramana Maharshi, that I was commenting to you earlier at the beginning of the conversation, is a mentor on the way he sees life and has experienced it and has found what we all are looking for, which is that inner bliss and love that we all are. And so besides that, I mean, there are many, thought leaders that that I follow, whether it's Carl Jung or Tony Robbins is an amazing example of what we can do at the individual level, and many others as well. But I don't have any, very original names besides Ramana Maharshi that I can share with the audience.
Okay. And how has being a conscious leader helped you in your own personal life? When you decide as a conscious leader, defining conscious leader being a person that looks to solve problems in the world, looks to right wrongs, bring justice to injustice, have a higher purpose for how their thoughts are developed. And so how has been this kind of a conscious leader helped you in your life, in your personal life as an individual?
Well, the thing is, I believe many things. First, probably, you don't become a conscious leader. You're already it at the personal level. You're already conscious somehow. You're already open to some new possibilities with looking more at how I open my heart instead of how can I close towards the experiences I'm having and focusing on negativity. So in my case, at least, I've always been conscious, and then I became a leader.
Okay.
But everybody is a leader by default, whether we're talking in a business standpoint and we have teams, and or even if we have one person in the same company. At the private level, we're also a leader because we're a leader of our lives, we're a leader of our family, possibly. We're a leader amongst our friends. So as long as we are pursuing a specific vision or something that is dear to us, whatever is the passion, whatever is the direction, we're leaders. And I think, the conscious leader is the one that is stepping out, he's walking the talk, is making whatever is inside them that vision, that passion that is inside them, they are in a total awareness and consciously taking the steps towards it. For me, that's a conscious leader. And again, it can apply to any setting, whether it's a business one or a personal one. And that's, you know, an amazing human being that is discovering himself or herself, and through that discovery is growing and becoming better and better through who they are, expressing themselves in a totally unique way. And by default, most probably in 99.99% of the time, it has such an impact on the world that the world is forever changed, for the better, of course. So that's what we're talking about. Everybody can become a conscious leader. Everybody has the tools to be that conscious leader. The question is, if you want to be it, if you want to step into in it and making it happen for yourself and for all the others you care for, whether you already know them or not, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So that's really, I think, the core also behind conscious capitalism, which is that we are not bound by just the limitation of making money, which is a very nice exercise, but it's quite sterile besides the making money. And we can fulfill the visions that we have inside ourselves and make money at the same time, which is amazing.
Absolutely.
It's called paradise.
Yes.
Or heaven.
Exactly. Well, speaking of heaven, how do you see your role as the DC chapter of Conscious Capitalism's chief strategy officer? And I equate that to being heaven, because you get a chance to experience that as being involved in the Conscious Capitalism DC chapter.
Yes, totally. It's heaven on earth. Exactly. I think, you know, the reason why I joined the CCDC is and taking that role is really to bring to people the best tools and content to help any small businesses and big businesses, whichever, who chooses that path, these steps that brings them closer and closer to the experience of being a conscious leader, providing conscious culture, having conscious stakeholders, etc., etc. So I think what we're working on is, and there are going to be amazing things happening in the next few months, is creating the tools, the programs, the pathways that help someone that is interested by the concept, doesn't not really know how to make it happen. Well, here you go. Here are a few steps that you can move forward on. Or someone that already is moving forward, he has already something, he's already working on something and it's really great and he's already becoming more aware and conscious, but wants to amp up their game. Here we go. Here is a little bit more. So I think our purpose here is to make sure that we provide for each people at the level they are tools and curriculums and content that helps them get to the next level. And I believe that's the purpose of a chapter of Conscious Capitalism, which is to serve their community in such a way. And then as the community grows and become more conscious and aware of itself, then we can create, have more effects and creating more things around in our community to provide more and more support to the community. If that makes sense, Mr. President.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It makes perfect sense. Well, you know, we're getting to the top of the hour. We have about 3 minutes left. A couple of questions I want to get out of the way. And I also want to get the opportunity to share again your contact information and as well as any other last thoughts. So one of the questions I want to ask right now is, of the four principles of conscious capitalism, again, higher purpose, stakeholder integration, conscious leadership, and conscious culture. Do you have one that resonates with you much more than other four? Other three, I'm sorry.
Well, maybe not one, but two. Conscious leadership and conscious culture are really, for me, the big stepping stones. The other are stemming from these two.
Okay. And what do you find most appealing about conscious capitalism?
Well, the word conscious. It's at last bringing to that dimension of humanity, which is very very material, which is capitalism, which is an amazing exercise of creation of growth, to bring it the conscious aspect of it, which I believe is the core concept of being human. So when we put them together, then it really makes sense to me. Then it makes sense to pursue such a vision because and support it, because it is the way of what humanity is becoming. It is the way, it's the future of humanity. That's how we're going to be able to make, to move mountains and change things in the world. And I cannot be more grateful to be part of it.
Absolutely. And we're definitely grateful to have you on board as well. And the last question, which is probably one of my most favorite questions to ask our guests, is, and you're going to play a part in this as well since you're a member of the chapter, obviously, but what is the best way in which the DC chapter of Conscious Capitalism can assist you with fulfilling your mission through Heal Through Words?
Well, I think we have such a big mission that any help is always welcome of any sort. We thrive to connect to millions and millions of people, and the best way to do it is not only to serve the conscious capitalism community with that content I was describing earlier and the programs we offer, but also to connect to the high-end corporations and government officials, so that we can really make a dent of change and bring change to the whole country at the same time. So if the CCDC can help us making that happen, it would be awesome, because it will be for the benefits of everyone.
Absolutely. Well, we're right up on the hour now with about a minute and 30 seconds left to go into the show. So I want to give you an opportunity to please share your contact information again with our listening audience, please.
Yes, of course. So my name is Arnaud St. Paul. You can reach me out from the CCDC website, number one, or on healthroughwords.com, healthroughwords.com. You can also write to me via info@healthroughwords.com, and we'll get that message right away thanks to our team. So thank you so much, King, for your time and for that beautiful interview. It's such a pleasure to be able to participate in that movement, and I'm again very grateful for the invitation. And I look forward seeing how we can help the community and see these changes very soon, so that we can see many, many people empowered and becoming more and more conscious.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you for being on the show. This has been a great show. I've enjoyed the conversation. Again, I want to thank you for joining our chapter. You know, as our Chief Strategy Officer, I believe you bring a lot of insight, a lot of passion, a lot of vision, definitely a lot of love. And I personally am going to be adopting your Heal Through Words philosophy and model in my life. And so for our listening audience, thank you again for listening to the Conscious Capitalist Show. This is your host, King. And until next week, everyone strive to be the best they can be, live with intent, and live a conscious lifestyle. Thank you all for listening.